Hello, my name is Eliana Valentine. I will be reading from Psalms 27, Scripture 4 through 5, and 13 through 14. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Psalm 27, 4, 5, 13, and 14.
Thank you, Eliana. Oh, good morning, West Bowles. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Char Kauser, and I'm the Director of Care Ministries here at the church. And I get the honor and pleasure of getting to share the message today on this beautiful, glorious day. Thank you for coming out here, bringing your chairs and your canopies and all that. What a fun time. And would you join me in thanking Matt and the worship team and Eliana for sharing the scripture? What an incredible way to prepare our hearts for this morning. I already saw a piece of sheet music go flying. I really hope that doesn't happen in my notes here. We're in big trouble. We might just say close in prayer and say amen if that happens. Can everybody hear me? Okay, I just want to make sure. Perfect. All right. I'd like to start by asking, who here has heard of the phrase, patience is a virtue? Most of you, yep. And who here would agree with that statement? Most of you. All right, now let me ask, how many of you would say that you're really good at waiting patiently? I see some of these. I saw some hands go whoop. Mine went down. I think my family would tell you that I'm a pretty patient person. Yeah, I'm getting the thumbs up and the yeah. I think for the most part, I think I am too, especially when it comes to kids and other people. But there are plenty of things that I struggle to wait patiently for. Here are a couple of examples. And I really hope I'm not alone in these, but I don't think I am. Waiting in line at the Costco gas pumps. So if you're not familiar, when you pull up at the Costco gas pumps, usually there's about 15 to 20 cars ahead of you, and you have to decide which side you're going to go on, right? And I hope I'm not alone in this, but does anyone else start doing the math? So I'm here because the gas is at least 15 to 20 cents cheaper, right, than down the street. However, for as long as I'm going to have to wait in this line, I just might burn up that 15 cents a gallon that I would have saved. I see some head nodding. I'm glad you do that math with me. How about this one? And I might be embarrassed sharing this one. Amazon day delivery. Not TJ is with me on this one. You pick something out, you're so excited, you see that it can be delivered by 5 p.m. today, and you put it in your cart and you go to checkout, and then you're faced with a choice. It says, do you really want it by 5 p.m. tonight? Or you could choose your Amazon day delivery, which is next Monday, and wait for that. And And in doing so, you can help save the planet a little bit. And I'm like, gosh, but I picked that thing because I can get it by before dinner time. Does anybody else have trouble waiting for things like that? Kelly. Yeah, it's tough. So yeah, I struggle to wait patiently for things like that. Of course, waiting patiently or impatiently are not the only kinds of waiting, though, are they? Depending upon the circumstances, we can wait passively, just bored, twiddling our thumbs, biding our time. Or we can wait excitedly, right? I can't wait. Just you wait. We can wait anxiously, holding our breath, waiting on pins and needles on the edge of our seat. But probably the most difficult type of waiting is when fear and worry get mixed in there. And they do sometimes, don't they? This is the kind of waiting that can keep us up at night, cause us to lose sleep. This is when waiting through tough seasons, pain and suffering, financial hardships, the unknowns of a diagnosis can get really hard. King David was no stranger to waiting through hard things. If anyone's following along in your Bibles this morning, we're looking at Psalm 27. And though we don't know for sure, most scholars believe that David wrote this psalm while he was literally running for his life and hiding from King Saul and his armies. David writes of his enemies that want to devour, besiege, oppress, and rise up against him with harmful, malicious intent, and there doesn't seem to be much he can do about it. He's in a situation that's scary and might seem hopeless, and he doesn't know when or if things will get better, and so he waits. He waits for the Lord. This is the last verse that Eliana read for us, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is David's encouragement to himself and to us. And I'd like for us to keep these words in mind as we go through the rest of the psalm. What's so interesting about the word wait that is used here is that the original Hebrew is kava. Kava, which means to wait with expectation, to hope, to look eagerly for the Lord in the midst of the waiting. What it does not mean is idly waiting for whatever may come, or just biding your time, waiting for circumstances to change or improve. One commentator describes it as kava is not passive. It's not sitting back. It's not discouraged or defeated. Kava is the kind of waiting that leans forward, a hope that stretches the heart towards God with trust and confidence in his goodness. This is the very same word that is translated as hope in Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope, or kava, in the Lord will renew their strength. Translated literally, kava means to bind or twist together. Bind or twist together strands, like weaving a strong rope or cord, to strengthen by intertwining the strands. Hopefully you all can see at least well enough, and I know most of you should have gotten a rope when you walked in. That's for you to take home. You don't have to do anything with it right now. I just wanted you to have it. because we're going to talk a lot about this rope right now. This is a three-stranded rope. You'll see that one end is intact and one end has frayed. Which end do you think is stronger, the intact or the frayed end? The intact one. Many of us are familiar with what Ecclesiastes 4:12 says. The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not easily broken, right? So what does it look like to be strong and take heart as we wait for the Lord, like verse 14 says, to be strengthened and to have courage? As we walk through the rest of Psalm 27, we're going to see three distinct movements that together paint this beautiful picture of Kava. We'll see that David first remembers God's faithfulness. Second, responds with humility and honesty. And third, remains confident in the Lord's goodness. Three strands intertwined together into a life that waits confidently in the Lord. Let's read verses 1 through 3, where David remembers who God is and what he's done. This is the first strand. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear, though war break out against me. Even then, I will be confident. Even then, I will be confident. No matter how difficult the circumstances get, David will trust in the Lord's faithfulness. Just think about a time when you've been in a tough season, or perhaps you're in a tough season right now. Which promises of who God is have you clung to? Or maybe you're clinging to those promises of who he is right now. Rescuer, healer, protector, provider, comforter, friend. Where has God shown up for you? Have you seen him be faithful? Getting back to our passage, what we're about to see next is a series of different responses and different types of prayer from David. Human responses made with humility and honesty. This is the second strand. First, we see a prayer of petition. David asked the Lord for a very specific request. This was where Eliana started. Verse 4, one thing, just one thing, I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Not someday, all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Or on his field. Next, in verses 5 through 6, David testifies. He praises and he worships. Verse 5, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me at his sacred tent. I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. And then a shift happens. David's voice and his whole posture changes. It shifts from these polite prayers and testimony and awe to deep, passionate cries of lament and pleading with God. Verses 7 through 12. Hear my voice. Hear my voice when I call, Lord, be merciful and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me, God. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me. Do not forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. Here we are seeing raw humility and honesty from David, authenticity of this pleading and crying out. David, the one who defeated the giant, the one to be king, becomes vulnerable in front of God, and he cries out to him. Here, David is no longer talking about God, but he is talking and pleading directly to God. He begs God for his mercies, his guidance, protection, and favor, to not turn away from him and to make his presence known. Oh, this can be a hard one for us, can't it? This vulnerable and authentic prayer, this crying out. There are certainly times when we find it easy to praise God for all he's done, yes? To worship him and sing and make music, and all of that's important. But sometimes there are times when the only words we have are, please, God, please. Why, God? How long, God? Where are you? And I am so thankful that we have a God that we can take all of that to. All of it. Yes. Yes. Amen. I love that David models both of these postures for us. And then David's tone shifts one last time. Back to speaking to the reader, to us, and with really, really good news. This is the third strand. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Another translation says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. David remained confident in the Lord's goodness no matter his circumstances. And he has continued to believe that he would see and receive and experience God's goodness, not someday, but all of his days, even while he was in the waiting. He says, had he not remained confident, he would have given up. He would have lost hope. This confidence David speaks of is not about confidence in best outcomes or the right timing or a bigger plan, neither our plan nor his. It's about being on the lookout for his goodness today, even when we don't know what those outcomes or plan is going to be. Trusting that we will see his goodness no matter what we're going through, even in the midst of struggle. You might be asking, what might this goodness look like, though? If it's not an outcome and it's not a result and it's not change, then how do we recognize it? What does it look like? Well, with Jesus, it might look something like this. Peace that passes understanding. Peace that we can't understand, even when it doesn't make sense. Hope found in the hurting. You're finally able to get out of bed. Or an inspiring word might come your way through a friend or through opening God's word. Calm in his creation. These beautiful mountains. How can we not feel calm and at peace out here when we get to see this? Or a beautiful sunset, right? Comfort in the chaos. Maybe a warm hug from a friend who cares. A meal from, I'm good, I promise. Thank you. I'm good. Thank you so much. That's very kind of you. I'm good. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mark. An umbrella on a sunny day. That was very sweet. Thank you. Maybe someone drops off a nice meal. Yeah. As our friend Jan Fugler puts it, comfort in the chaos comes when we one another. And we see his goodness when we find joy in the suffering. I have countless examples that I have witnessed myself in our grief share group, in our cancer care group, in our divorce care group, where in the first few meetings, there are people who can't even share. It's so hard to just even talk. And by a few meetings later, you can walk by and you can hear some laughter. It's not something we can put our finger on. It's not something we've done. It's not something we can mark in a very specific moment, but it happens. It happens in that waiting, and it happens in the healing, and we can see joy in the suffering. We can find it if we're looking for it. As the worship team makes its way back up, I'd like to close with this verse in Isaiah 25:9. The prophet Isaiah is foreshadowing the one who would come to save. It says, in that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Twice it says, trusted in him. And here the word trust is also kava. It's also wait. It's also hope. Trust in him. Of course, the one Isaiah speaks of who came to save is Jesus. And as we trust in him, as we kava in him, we can be confident in his goodness too, even when we're right in the middle of the struggle. After the last song, our care team will be available for prayer up here. If you are going through a tough season and maybe Maybe you need someone to hold hope for you, to hold the strength and courage for you. Come see us. We're here for you. If you're not ready for that right now, you can always call the church or you can email us at care@westbowls.com. We would love to come alongside you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that waiting is not about hoping our circumstances will change, but it's about drawing closer to you. God, help us remember your faithfulness, respond to you with humble and honest hearts, and remain confident in your goodness, even when the path ahead is uncertain. As we leave today, intertwine our lives more closely with yours, Lord. Make us strong in you and use us to encourage, comfort, and care for one another as the body of Christ. We choose to wait for you with courage, hope, and confidence. In Jesus' name, amen.